guys.
Hey, y'all. Welcome, welcome.
Bizek.
To another episode
of Break the Narrative.
Break the Narrative.
Y'all better been breaking these narratives, too.
We need to see receipts.
Whew, because the world is crazy.
I'm telling you, like, every other day is some new shit.
Yeah, some real bad shit, though.
Bad shit. But y'all know.
Y'all better get out here and vote.
Please vote.
Seriously.
At this point, you know what's crazy today? Like, I really had the thought and I was like, I really wish I wouldn't feel bad about not voting. Because at this point,
you feel like it doesn't matter?
I don't even feel like it doesn't matter. I just feel like the options that we have are trash. Atrocious.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still going to do it because it does make a difference in a sense. But then it's like, does it really?
But then if we don't, we're more likely to be worse off.
Yeah.
If we don't.
We got to.
But it's just like, I'm tired.
Plus, it's all right, you know, that we finally got.
All these moral obligations.
From Harriet.
All these moral obligations. I don't even know how I feel about any of this. And it's like we're getting closer and closer to time for us to vote, and I'm just like, I don't feel good about this.
And that's kind of crazy, because when I was watching on TV the other day, and I was like, damn, we about to have to vote
for real,
like, so school about to be out. That's what I thought about.
Facts.
I was like, well, damn, the summer about to be here.
It is, because it's literally the end of what, February now.
I'm over it already.
Yeah, because the kids out, we got one more break
March, before April, May.
That's it. School year over.
That's crazy.
School year is over.
I have a 7-year-old and a 12-year-old in May.
Oh, Lord.
That's crazy.
But, yeah.
I guess I ain't having no more child. They grown.
Facts. So, how was Valentine's Day? I know you were gone. You were out of town.
Valentine's Day was good. I was up in the sky in the mountain club. What's up? How the song go?
What song is that?
You know, he'd be like,
Oh, what's that? Jeremiah.
No, it's not Jeremiah.
Is that Jeremiah? That is Jeremiah.
Say it again.
That is
She's so Cali. That's Jeremiah.
No, it's not. Yes, it is.
No, it's not. I don't think it is. Is it?
What's it called? It's called Plains, right?
I think so. Who is it?
That is Jeremiah. See, I'm not crazy.
Is Jeremiah?
Yes.
Let me see.
Look.
No, go to the chorus.
It's right here.
I got with you in the- Yeah, that is him.
I know what I'm talking about.
I don't know why I thought it was Sorry. My baby daddy calling. I'll call him back. I don't even know who I thought it was. But I didn't think it was him. But anyway, Valentine's Day was great. I had a good time. I was out of town. I was surrounded by around a lot of love with family and friends. Mm-hmm. And yeah, had a great Valentine's Day. How was your Valentine's Day? You wrote a very sweet, sweet post about your significant other. And I was like, oh.
I did. And I mean, I meant it. But, you know, I did that because if I didn't say anything, I could have said all of that to him. But if I didn't, like, acknowledge him publicly, he probably would have been in his feelings.
Okay, I take it back. Valentine's Day is for girls.
But, no, I did. And I meant...
I feel like women can acknowledge and appreciate their men. You don't have to just do that on Valentine's Day. You can do it whenever. But that was very sweet. You know, it's a sweetheart day, so
right.
I get it. It was very sweet.
So I said what I had to say, but our Valentine's Day was very quiet. Like, we didn't do anything. We didn't go out. We didn't, like...
That's a good thing.
We just stayed home. We cooked together. We made steaks, and I showed him how to make mashed potatoes from scratch, because he ain't know how to do that. And then I made chocolate covered strawberries at home because I wanted some, but they're cheaper if you just buy the shit yourself.
Chocolate, yeah, and the strawberries.
And dip them yourself. And the kids had fun helping me dip them, so.
That's good. I saw that. My cousin, she makes the best cakes, sweets, strawberry, I mean, everything. She made me some last year. And it's so funny because she had reposted it on Facebook. They were so beautiful. I had to show them to you. And so fucking good.
I bet.
I'm about to get some just so we can, you know.
But yeah. But I don't need them, though. That's all we did. And then I had my champagne and my strawberries. And we literally fell asleep on the couch watching the Celebrity All-Star Game.
I missed it.
That's what we did because we are old people.
Oh, did you see them? Did you see my story? Did you see the Gigapet?
Gigapets? Who got Gigapets?
Girl, Gigapets is back.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, they are.
You lying.
Gigapets are back.
Girl, what? I had a whole keychain full of them things.
Okay. And then it's so funny because on the actual, like, the package, it says ages 5 to 105. I said, you better damn
because you
show,
know,
right?
Grown people going to be, it's going to be us, because that was our thing.
That was our thing.
These kids don't know nothing about no damn Gigapet.
No, it is so funny, because me and my coworker were talking about just so many things that we grew up on. And, like, we are the ones that actually grew up with technology. Like
we got to see the evolution of it.
Right. It was, and it's so amazing, but.
Because we had dial-up internet, child. And we got to see, like, when it transitioned out of, like, that AOL era into, like, the high-speed internet. Yep. Like, we got
Wi-Fi,
to see. Right. Because
yeah.
There was no Wi-Fi. If you had Wi-Fi, it was, like, a whole other. You had to go out in public to get Wi-Fi.
Right. And at the airport mainly.
Right.
You know?
But other than that, there was no Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So we are like futuristic as hell.
That makes me feel so very, very old.
It does. But it was pretty dope. Like when we were just talking about, you
yeah.
know.
But yeah, I mean, that was it. We didn't have much else going on. I hope you guys were able to catch the Valentine's Day episode. And we would love to hear your feedback. I know y'all saw us posting on social media and stuff and trying to get everybody's input and see
what they thought.
You know, what you thought.
Yeah, Valentine's Day episode was crazy lit. It was funny, fun.
It was.
Not
I just
for
wish,
your grandma or your mama.
No, I wish that we could have been able to clean up the audio just a little bit, though. Because yeah. I feel like they got so excited, like, we couldn't.
But it's always like that every time we have guests.
Yes.
And we have a bunch, especially of men.
It's loud.
It's very loud. So, excuse that, but.
But either
overall,
way, right,
yeah.
I still feel like it overall, was a really good episode.
It was. And we learned a lot from each other.
Yes.
It was very funny.
So, and I hope you guys have been listening, because we haven't, I guess y'all know the answer to this question. Y'all must not want to win this giveaway.
Okay. Because we still ain't even got nobody to email us. I think it's because people so used to just writing down the answer on the post. Y'all don't want to follow the rules.
Y'all too lazy to send us an email. But that's okay.
It's okay. I'll spend it on me and Simone. Me and Sia spend it, child. 25 apiece.
Right. But what else? So
what's BS shade and shenanigans this week?
Yes, let's talk about these shenanigans, because that's exactly
everybody's so upset about Dwayne Wade and his family.
So I have been reserving my opinions on this.
And me too, you know.
Because I really feel like people's ignorance is really showing.
I just feel like this. I feel like everybody has an opinion, and you can have that opinion, but at the end of the day, you still, that man don't even know y'all.
Like, at all. So why are you so upset?
Their household, like, they're happy.
They're very happy.
They're, you know what I'm saying?
They're like, very well off. Their children are taken care of.
Yeah, like, and it's just like, everybody is just so mad. And people that you would have thought would have been mad at him, or just like, bro, what's up? Like, everybody's supporting him. So
I don't understand why people are mad at people.
And then
loving,
they're making up stuff like, loving, oh, he said he was gonna cut the boy penis off and all that. Like, he never
y'all
said
are so
that.
Ignorant.
People just be reaching.
Reaching.
Like,
your arm should hurt.
Bad.
Stop
reaching. And at the end of the day, this is a child. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, let's just keep that in mind. Like, this is a child. This is a baby. Like, he's not a baby, but this is somebody's baby. And at the end of the day, I just feel like everybody should definitely keep, you know, not be so cruel about it. Like, everybody just beating them down and beating the kid down and beating Dwayne down. And, you know, I mean, you can agree to disagree. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. And that's fine because you don't have to. But I feel like people just be putting they... Here goes back to show people never mind the business that pays them.
Amen.
This man would never give a damn about what none of y'all say. Y'all no. would never meet him. Y'all would never. And it is what it is. So all y'all, I feel like people want to down people so bad. Why not lift them up? Hey, you know, I'm praying for you. If you feel like it's wrong, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your family. Keep it at that and keep it moving. You know yeah. what I'm saying? But. That's just a whole nother shenanigans, but child.
Yeah, I don't like, what bothers me the most is that people are upset with them being there and giving their child the love that they need, regardless of whatever they feel, mm-hmm. and then comparing the shit to, like, oh, well, y'all don't want R. Kelly fucking 14-year-olds, but y'all gonna let a 12-year-old make decisions, because this is not the same. This... R. Kelly is a predator.
Yeah.
Okay? And that is absolutely...
Like, R. Kelly was peeing on fucking
right. Girls. Like, he's a predator. Like, you can't like, tell people...
fucking little girls.
How they feel. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not about being old enough to make your own decisions. And people are trying to equate it to that. Oh, well, y'all just gonna let people make these decisions. They're not old enough. Okay, but that doesn't negate who they are. But I feel
like, as a parent, if that parent allows their child... Because that parent's... run households
differently,
very differently. So if his mom and dad allow him to do that, then you have to accept things for what they are and accept things that you can't change and move on with it. Like, at the end of the day, if that's his household and that's how he's being raised, why hate on it?
You don't have to
live with him in his house. You don't gotta go home. You don't gotta do none of that.
I'm just tired of people like, this is the gay agenda. They just trying, like, can y'all shut up and let people be fucking happy? Yeah. Like,
no, people don't.
Let people be happy.
Misery loves misery. How I go?
Misery loves company. Yeah. Let people be happy. Like, don't nobody say nothing to you when you out here in these fucking streets
up.
Doing dumb shit because the dumb shit makes you happy. Don't nobody say shit to you when you being irresponsible.
Like, they went dumb heart for no reason and then started dumb ass rumors for no reason. Like, let it go. You're so fucking mad. Like, it's so sad. But, Snoop Dogg.
Bruh.
I don't feel like he was wrong.
You don't?
No.
I feel like he went too far.
I don't. I mean, all he did was cuss her ass out.
I really feel like he went too far. Like, I mean, you could get your point across. So I'm not saying he's wrong for being upset. Like, everybody's entitled to feel that they feel the way that they feel. But I just feel like you ain't have to tell me we come and feel. Like, come on now.
I mean, I was with him.
Come on now.
We do got to do better, but I don't give a fuck. In the moment, you know, in the moment.
Two wrongs do not make a right.
Well, they going to make a right one day. Shit, we going to break that narrative. Two wrongs don't make a right. Fuck out of here. Two wrongs do make a right sometimes. So fuck that little narrative. Like, shit, you got to bust a fucking window sometimes. You got to bust the window.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like he went a little too hard.
Calling her a
funky dog headed bitch, that shit was funny.
Okay, so what part did he go wrong at?
Like, he talking about if you don't, whatever, we coming for your ass, blah, blah, blah. And then he tried.
I think he meant it like, but we, you like the black community.
But
like,
you can't. Say things like that.
Why? When Gail and them and Oprah can say any fucking and Stedman, I told you I'm grouping their ass together. When Gail, Stedman, and Oprah and Tyler Perry, I'm grouping them too. When all of them can say whatever the fuck they want to say.
I just feel like in the position that he's in and being the person that he is with the reputation that he has, his background and this image.
I mean, you right. I agree.
I feel like
the white people is probably like, we need to press charges. Right. I get it. I do. I really do.
I feel like that was a little excessive.
He could have just toned it down a little bit and kept it at the donkey dog.
Funky dog head ass, bitch.
Stupid ass, you know. I get it. Because that's it. You know, that hit.
But I just, I don't know. It's a weird situation for me. I feel like the timing was very bad. I feel like she shouldn't have asked that question and posed that question to the person that she posed it to. I feel like it...
I feel like they always do that dumb shit, and then they want people to, pacify them after the fact.
It never I feel like fails. If she didn't ask, it was going to be somebody else. Cause no, that's
or Oprah. You're right, Oprah.
It was, if it wasn't
Oprah
her.
Oprah's going to get the backlash, too, dumbass. If it wasn't Oprah,
it was going to
be Statman.
It was going to be somebody. Because that's what journalists do. Like,
but it's a tasteful way that you can... Right. Every journalist does not.
Right. And I feel like the timing was bad. Like, his family doesn't need to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, taking that in. That's not what they want to hear right now.
Yeah, you still the donkey of the fucking whole fucking... You, Statman, and Oprah can, is over that wall. That fucking orange is building. So, I don't give a fuck. At the end of the day, Snoop Dogg, I got your back. Like, you could... Okay, I agree. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, we do have to realize that it's a time and place for everything. I truly agree. He could have maybe had a conversation. He could have went about it a tasteful way. Because two wrongs don't make a right. I mean, fuck out of here. But, you're right. But at the end of the day, Snoop Dogg, I got your back. And country-ass Gil can kiss my ass.
Yeah, I just feel like it was distasteful.
But
on
I don't
all
feel like
parts.
He was trying like, to threaten like her.
Like, everybody was doing the absolute most.
And they were.
And I feel like it wouldn't have been as big. Like, they would have been mad. But if it had been, like, a white journalist that asked that question.
You know, they would have been like, oh, well.
So they wouldn't have reacted the way that they did. Because we anticipate that. You know what I'm saying? From them. We don't anticipate that.
I feel like we would have went in on her ass, too, though. Because of how... It was just too
they would have, but I feel like Gail got the worst of it
because bitch, you know better. But I think too because everybody's tired of them doing that. This is not the first time.
Yeah.
Like y'all, especially Oprah and Gail. Like y'all and Gail just a bystander because Oprah put her up to it. Like, bitch, I'm gonna give you $1 million. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then Gail dumb is like, oh, I sure need that million. And so she fucking doing the shit. And then Stanton right there shaking his head and scratching his balls and then. They both fucking him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a lot going on.
It's a lot of mess.
It's just a lot going on. And at the end of the day, all three of them amigos can fucking go.
I don't know. I see, you know, I'm always the diplomat. I see both sides. Like, I feel like...
I don't see both sides.
I feel like it was her job. Like, as a journalist, if you really are a good journalist, you're going to ask the tough questions.
I mean, you're going to ask tough questions, but you're not going to ask that shit. She was dead ass fucking wrong.
I don't feel like she asked it in a negative way. She didn't come out and say, you think Kobe raped that girl?
But she didn't ask it in that way because she asked trying to beat around a bush with it, like to ask it in a like a light. Good because that's what they do.
Yeah.
Bitch, no. We fucking know what the fuck you trying to do. Like, don't get me fucking started on her dumb ass because that whole I ain't fucking with her. Nope.
But why do you think it is that people only have that view of not talking about these things? Because if Kobe was alive, I'm sure people didn't have a problem talking about the case. I mean, because people talked about it for years and years. And it still comes up in conversation.
But this is
but
my
now
thing,
that
like,
the man is gone, it's like completely off limits. But that's still but part of his story.
Okay, and I get that. But the man did not get accused for it. Like... People always want to bring up the past and the negative. That's just like you, for instance, getting really high and mighty in your business and you're just flourishing and something happened. Let's just say something happened with a murder and with you and your...
A murder?
you and your dude or whatever and they basically were trying to say like you set him up type shit but it really wasn't true but they were trying to pin it on you. They gonna keep bringing it up now that it's 10 years ago
and they're
12
still
years ago
bring it up.
And okay that it's like shut the fuck up
but I see what you're saying like when do we let it go?
That's just like Oprah ass with the Michael with my granddaddy shit with the Michael Jackson shit. Like
when do we let
bitch
it go?
You dead and fucking he dead and gone you still up here. Like, goddamn.
Yeah.
So when she go to heaven, we gonna fucking talk about her. We gonna talk about the rape. And then we'll be wrong for that, right? Well, damn, she was raped a lot. How many times y'all think she got raped? Did you think she... Like, what the fuck? Like, you wouldn't want nobody to do that shit to you?
Yeah, you have
so put this shoe on the other foot. Like, let this shit go. Gail knew what her ass was doing when Oprah saw her. Bitch, I give you the fucking million. You go ask that.
I get
doing
what
it this
saying.
Way.
But like, I hear people and they're just like, oh, well, it's like, when do we hold people accountable? Like, you hold them accountable while they're alive. Accountability ain't doing shit for this man now. He's gone.
But my thing is, everybody seen when he went through all of that in the court dates. And I, like,
yeah.
So what do you mean hold accountability? He was fucking in the hot seat.
He was.
Like, what do you mean? He apologized to the world. He apologized to, like, he already got the backlash, the humiliation, the all the when it's
not his trip. He's paid his debt as right. far as that's concerned, and we just they and need now to let it everybody go.
R. Kelly about to pay his because he deserved the shit. He did it. It's proof.
Cool, sure.
Kobe, they didn't have proof. Like, let's. I mean, hello, like.
Yeah.
But then it is fucked up on the other hand where innocent people get.
Yeah,
you know, charge for shit they didn't do, and then people who really did shit be walking. Mm-hmm. So I see what you know. I see the double advocate there where we can play, but at the end of the day, I feel like this when somebody is dead and gone, y'all want to sit here and continue to talk about something. Why not talk about the positive things? His legacy, his being a girl dad and all this stuff. Like right. she could have said like different
those are,
things.
I feel like those are the things that are important, especially with it being so fresh.
Yes.
Because his family is what's left. They're here.
And they are hurting. And you gonna sit up there and do it? Like, come on. At the end of the day, I just feel like as a black woman, everything we've been through, because at the end of the day, if slavery was to come back into play or segregation, bitch, you gonna be over there with us. You're not gonna be over there with them. Oprah, your ass gonna be over there. Stephanie, you gonna be over there with them because you white. But you gonna be over here with us. And bitch, you gonna be in the field like, do not fucking play. And we gonna have to come up together and figure out how we can stick together and be... have each other back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But no. That's not what they want to do, though. But then they want to talk about all this other shit. Like, people are such hypocrites. It gets on my nerves. Oh, my hair hurt because it gets on my nerve. Girl, you just made my hair hurt, and I'm going to slap you for making it hurt. Because, girl.
Oh, child.
At the end of the day, I just feel like she could have went, it could have been so different. Snoop Dogg, yes, I will agree with you. He didn't have to do all that. But I do feel
this goddamn headscarf.
I do feel
I see if I take him seriously anyway with that fucking scarf on his head.
I feel unk. I mean,
looking like somebody auntie.
That's unk. That's unk right there. Unk, I feel you 100%. He had to, you know, do the little ending part. But, you know, at least he apologized. Like he said, his mom didn't raise him like that. He didn't have to apologize. But he did.
He did not.
He didn't have to, but he did. Gail, Oprah gonna get on the interview. She's just hurt. Shut the fuck up. You know how many people hurting? You know his family's hurting because of the fucking interview that you did? So, miss me with that bullshit. Now, do we hold grudges? No. We forget. We gonna forgive. We gonna move on. We gonna break the narrative on that part. I agree with that. But she is... right now, baby, she gonna have to do a lot of fucking new interviews and good ones for me to fucking be like, okay, well, maybe she done changed a little bit, because all three of them can fucking go over the wall. All right, I'm done.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so. Rest in peace to Pop Smoke.
That is so sad.
So, I'm sure you guys have seen and heard because it's everywhere. But
20 years old.
20 years old. He was shot and killed in his own...
No, it wasn't his house.
It wasn't his house?
No, so he was... He's not... You know, he's from New York. He lives in New York. He's 20. He's his mama's baby. But he was on a... like a Airbnb, a rental.
Okay.
For...
But that's still his own... Like, how you can't... If you can't be safe... in your own space, whether it's a home that you own, rent. That's why rent. I feel
like it was a setup. They said that he had posted online.
And his address was on there. Yeah, the address
or whatever. But it's just so sad. Like, this little boy, I say little, he ain't no little boy, but this 20-year-old young man, young king, was literally on, like, charting on the way up. And people just who are hateful and evil and just, oh, like, how can you be that sick? And y'all go on this boy, you like, it ain't that much, like, they print money every day, like Jeezy said. Y'all can't go out here and get your own fucking money to come up, you know, to get jewelry, to get it's whatever designer clothes you want. You know how many times
And people keep saying jealousy. That's not even jealousy. That's envy.
That's envy. You know how many designer clothes I done cut the fuck up? Because if you get in an accident and you come in the ER... and you got a motherfucking get cut up, and yeah. It's your expensive ass Gucci, Louis, Fendi, Prada. Nobody fucking cares because we're trying to save a life. And people are so caught up on this name brand shit and this limelight shit and these diamonds and this all this shit. Like, why you can't get, like, from the bottom to the top like how he did and got it out the mud and grind. And
I mean, I get it. The story doesn't always happen that way for everybody, so I can understand that. Like, because for some people who do put in the work and they grind and they do all that, especially in the music and the entertainment industry, everybody don't always make it like that.
Right. And I get that, but you find, then you do something else.
But you do something else. Or instead of striving to achieve material things, like, you look inward. Like, right. What, look.
Because literally, that's what it was. Y'all went in there to rob him. For what? Jewelry, clothes, money.
All shit that, him. If this motherfucking earth gets hit by a meteor, that ain't gonna mean shit.
Shit. You literally could just be in a house fire. And all that's gone. I mean, it's really simple. It can take 30 minutes, 15 minutes, a minute.
And it's gone.
And it's gone. And it's just sad.
But the thing is that it can be replaced, but people's lives cannot be replaced. No. This man is gone. His mother lost a child.
Yes. Her baby. 20 years old. Like, because he was on a come up, because he was mean. He's like, really? That shit is so fucking sick and evil. I'm just like, damn.
This world is a terrible place, and every day I lose a little bit more faith. Every single day.
Seriously.
It's just,
I think it's more scary for me.
Faith
for
in human, for our kids. Yeah, like you lose faith, like, in humanity, because it's like, what?
That's literally what I thought about. Is like, damn, I'm raising young kings.
People don't
raising,
you know respect what I'm saying? We each other.
Young kings and queens, and it's like, what do they have to even look forward to? Like, oh man. Cause the era that we grew up in, it was totally different.
Yeah,
it's like we're dinosaurs. We're distinct. You know what I'm saying? From the shit that goes on now, our kids can't even go outside. You can't even go outside. Mm-hmm. You can't go. You can't do shit.
No, I don't let my kids.
You can't go to
nowhere.
The movie theater, a church,
no,
a mall, no, nothing.
Maybe without shooting in the mall over shoes,
right?
Like, this shit is dumb,
and it's just getting out of hand. Like, when is it?
It's dumb. And, you know, I don't even blame the mentality of the people. Like, I feel like, yes, that's a problem. But I feel like it stems in the root of our economy and the way that our society is built.
Yeah.
Because it's all capitalism. It's all built around how much money the millionaires can make. Yeah. How much money can they get people to spend. And it's like, y'all are fighting and making these people rich. And they're laughing at y'all. Because y'all out here fucking killing each other.
Over
shit that costs 20 fucking cents to make.
Yep. In China.
Where, like, what?
What they eating bats at. Okay.
What?
What? I keep telling y'all they eat the coronavirus. They eating all them bats. Did you see the man fucking the chicken?
What?
Chat. Wait.
How it go from bats to fucking chickens?
Child, it's just a lot going on in the world. That's what I'm saying. They fucking chickens now. They eating bats. It's just a lot going on in the world. Like, for real.
I'm not.
It's
mm-mm.
just a lot. And I'm just, like, so sad.
Nope.
No? Niggas fucking chickens.
I can't. Niggas is fucking chickens. You're
gonna, like,
have salmonella on your... You're gonna have salmonella on your penis, sir.
Somebody sent me the video, I swear. And
that's,
I don't,
disgusting.
Know. Like, I was just like, what? Like, what? Hold
that
on.
That is absolutely fucking disgusting.
It was so disgusting. And I was just like, wow. Like,
chickens.
Yeah, like, crazy. I was trying to find it.
Child. But yeah. In lighter news, Spelman College is hosting a Beyonce mass.
Woo! Child. I'm just, honestly, y'all know I love my girl, my sis, but I'm just now hearing about this when C told me.
So it's going to be a worship service featuring Beyonce. It's going to happen in March.
March 7th, right?
She won't be on campus, unfortunately.
Of course she won't.
However, her music will be featured with a nod to Black womanist spirituality, according to the AJC. So, let's see. What I'm trying to see what else they said.
Just like a feminism thing?
Yeah, it's just celebrating Black women and spirituality, basically. And what better person?
Yeah, what better person?
What girl, better person?
My girl is everything.
So it sounds like this professor, Yolanda Norton, she's an assistant professor of Hebrew Bible at San Francisco Theological Seminary. She's the one who curated and created the service, and she taught a class called Beyonce and the Hebrew Bible that focused on how Black women encountered scripture and how they see themselves in sacred texts.
Wow.
That would be a dope-ass class.
Wow.
And it says, quote, "We wanted to reframe how we encounter the text in ways that don't vilify Black women but uplift them." It says, "We want to create a framework within the Christian space that tells Black women's stories." And it's right on time for International Women's Day.
Yeah, that is dope.
That is really dope. Leave it to Spelman, you know?
That is really dope.
Paving the way.
Go be girl.
I know, that's lit. But I think that's it for our BS shade and shenanigans. And we, this week, have a awesome interview with somebody who taught us a lot in such a very short time.
She really did.
It was truly a pleasure to speak with her and get some insight with Tremaine Wills of Mind Over Money LLC, and she had some great advice for us on financial literacy and how we can improve credit scores and things that we need to know. So you definitely need to check out her business and her website. Yeah. She's based in the DMV area. So if you guys are listening out there, be sure to check her out.
You will learn so much. Credit yes. is important. Money, but even just saving.
Right. Investing.
Investing.
And
everything.
She specializes in working with, you know, Black people and the people of color in our communities because we aren't taught these things.
Right.
And I just think that her mission is super dope. And can't wait to see more of what she has to offer. We'll include all of her information in our description for the episode.
And when you are listening, if you want to hire her for any of her services, she is giving a percentage off.
Yes, there's a promo code, I believe.
Break.
The promo code is break, and I will tell you guys what the percentage is because she does online webinars too. So if you're not in the DMV area, you can still benefit and utilize her insight and services as well.
Yeah, so she does like webinars live on the computer, you know, so. Or you can talk to her over the phone, email, all of that good stuff.
Right.
She's really sweet and really dope and just very, very, very informative.
And she has resources on her website. So it's good for any of her resources. You can go on her website, use the code BREAK, and it is giving you a 50 to 75% off.
You cannot beat
of
that.
Her resources that she has available. So please check her out and support. And get your finances together because we know that y'all got these income taxes coming up. Don't be blowing them now.
Okay, she will tell you, child. Don't blow them.
Don't be blowing them. So here is that interview. Let us know what you guys think. And we will
see
y'all
next
later.
Week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Break the Narrative.
Thanks for joining us today. We have a special, special guest. That we're so excited about.
Yeah.
I'm excited too.
We've been talking about doing this for a minute, and I'm glad that we're finally getting to do this now, so we'll be able to help you guys keep along this journey for the new year. Hopefully you guys haven't forgotten your goals and resolutions already.
Yes, yes.
No,
this is so important. Right.
But we will let our guest introduce herself and tell her, tell you guys a little bit about who she is and what she does, and then we'll get into some more goodies. So, Tremaine.
Just kidding, let me stop playing. Hi, everybody. My name is Tremaine Wills. I am the founder and owner of Mind Over Money LLC. I'm a financial advisor, money coach, money extraordinaire. I talk all things money all day long and I love it. I help women who have very passionate hearts to take care of themselves and their finances so that they can take care of others. What I found from experience and a lot of the women that I have grown up around is that we give and give and give, and we give to a point where we have nothing left. And so Amen. It's important that we take care of ourselves so that we can better take care of our communities. So that's what I do. I teach us how to manage our coins.
Amen. It's like, because we know we definitely need that. So that is useful in our communities for sure, because a lot of people don't know. Like, we're not taught these things growing up, and we just kind of dive into life feet first mm-hmm. and then try to figure it out as we go. So that's awesome. So what made you want to get into entrepreneurship and financial literacy and just money managing?
So I have been chasing a check for as long as I can remember. I vividly can see and hear, you know, my mom asking if I had McDonald's money. Like, that was, you know, that was the thing. And it was like, I don't ever want to be in a position where, you know, my kids got to ask, do you got McDonald's money? Like, I don't want that. But it was a valuable lesson where it really just taught me, like, okay, how do I better manage my resources so that my money is working for me and I'm not working so hard to make money? We didn't talk a lot about money in my household growing up. And so I was constantly trying to figure out, okay, what hustle can I learn so that, you know, I have McDonald's money? And I started braiding hair when I was 12. And so that was my first introduction to entrepreneurship. And there was this freedom connected to just having my own money. And before I knew it, I was a massive consumer. There was, you know, the LED belts and the name chains and Ryan Jordans. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, I'm rich. But, you know, that came from me understanding, okay, if I earn my own money, I could spend what I want, but I started repeating habits that I saw that were not good. And so by the time I finished college, I was like, okay, how can I actually learn how to make this money work for me and not just look rich, but actually be rich? So that's what led me down this path, figuring out how to be rich for real and not look it and not have no money in the bank.
That's amazing. Because I feel like, and it's so relatable because it's the same cycle that we all kind of fall into. And because I see myself doing it now with my kids, and I'm like, do you have money for that? Put that back. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we don't want to do that. And we do want to have that financial freedom. And we do want to be able to do what we want when we want without having to worry, you know, how it's going to impact us financially.
Right.
All the time. Because I feel like you can't really enjoy life if you're constantly thinking about money.
You can't. Exactly. Money is the number one stressor in the world. It causes medical disorders, angst. And if we can fix this emotional connection we have to money, we can solve so many issues. So that's what I'm excited and passionate about.
Beautiful. Leash, did you have anything to add?
Can you guys hear me for one?
Yes,
we can hear you.
Okay. So I'm sorry it wasn't working at first. But no, I just think that's wonderful. I think that we do have a mindset of living amongst our means. Like, we always want things that we can't buy, but then we do end up buying them and then be like, damn, I should have never got that. Or
right?
You gotta pay things back. Or you know, and who wants to live like that? Who wants to mm-hmm. worry about little things? Because I feel like when you work hard, you should be able to treat yourself, you know, and you should be able to do things that you may like to do, go out of town, go on vacation. But in the economy that we do live in, it is hard. But I feel like we make it harder on ourselves because we don't know how to manage that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like you said, we don't know how, we're not taught like other people how to make our money work for us, and we're not taught about investing and putting your money in the right places and, you know, responsible spending, because I feel like we're always in
you know, survival mode or, you know, like starvation mode where we're, as soon as we get it, we got to spend it. Mm-hmm. So we don't even give any thought to like, okay, well, I have this amount now, but what can I do to make it grow? It's always right. What can I get with this? Because I have it now and I don't know when I'm going to have it again.
Right.
Right. And I think too, we live in such a, where everybody wants instant gratification. We got to have it now. We got to have it now. We got to have it now. And I think that's a big part of the broken mentality that has to, you have to get rid of, you know what I'm saying? You have to really get rid of, I think like when we want things now, we act on impulse instead of doing things that are smarter, you know, with our money.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, what areas specifically do you specialize in?
So I specialize in helping folks get from pre-investor to investor. So I think investing can be intimidating for us because there's this lack of education around it. And so I help teach. I am the person that tells you what stocks are, what bonds are, how to get started in a mutual fund, how you make all of this work inside of your budget at all, right? Because sometimes we don't even think we have the money to invest. Mm-hmm. The traditional financial services industry neglects the folks that I work with because they want you to be ready right now with disposable income. And that's not what is the case for most of us. And so we have to be taught how to get to that point. So I specialize in helping us get there. You might not be there when you start working with me, but by the time we are done, you will be ready to invest and you will know what to do so that your money is going to make money for you.
It's beautiful. And what parts of that do you, well, I mean, I guess you kind of already answered that. I was going to say, what parts of that do you connect with the most? But you, I mean, like you said, you've lived it, you've seen it, you've done it. So it's almost, it feels personal.
Yeah, oh, it's hugely personal for me. I think the biggest thing for me is helping folks eliminate their emotional connection. So my story is kind of sad. When I first started this journey, I was filling an emotional void with shopping. And so I was a huge spender. Mm-hmm. And so bad that I put myself in $17,000 of credit card debt. Buying clothes. I would leave my job. I would go across the street to the shopping center and I would just have a ball in TJ Maxx. And it wasn't because I needed stuff. I didn't need it. I was trying to fill this emotional void, fill this hole. And because now I was making good money, I was spending that money trying to, you know, fix what was missing. And I think for especially a lot of women, we buy stuff because, you know, it's retail therapy and this thing will make me feel better when the thing isn't the issue. I don't need all this material stuff. I need to figure out, okay, what's the deeper issue? How can I separate that from my self-worth and allow my money to work for me and stop wasting it? So I think a lot of what I do, like, yes, it's financial discipline and it's education too, but there's some psychology behind our spending. And because I have lived it, I understand, and it's not a thing of judgment. I get it. I've had, you know, a low credit score. I've been flat broke. So I know what that feels like. And it can be very intimidating. And there's a privacy there. You're letting somebody in and you're being vulnerable. And it can be scary. But when I tell you, like, oh girl, I done some crazy stuff and I knew better, it becomes a safe space. So it is very personal for me.
Right, especially when you've gone through it yourself and you're able to teach other people because it was personal and you went through it. That's the part that I think people will be more receptive to. Like, well, you know, you going through it so you can tell me how. And, you know, like you said, when you're young, you know, you hit your head in the wall a couple of times. You spend all this money that you think you have and you don't realize, like, dang, that's just like people with student loans. They get the money back when they don't have to. And then they get all this stuff and then you keep ending up in debt. Mm-hmm. So
one of my I did that too. I did that too.
One of my questions was, so being that we're just talking about credit, the importance of credit is so huge, but what would you recommend to help rebuild credit for people who need to rebuild credit, or people that have little no credit, and then also
make that? Ooh, this is good. So I'm these tax. The first thing I would do, I would tell everybody, so this is what I tell my clients, pull your credit reports. You need to see what's on there so that you can have an idea of how good or bad your situation is. From there, figure out if everything on there is true. So I've worked with some folks where their parents had opened accounts for them in their Social Security number. And I mean, it's not uncommon in our community because we have this history of, you know, I got bad credit. Look, we got to get these lights on. It got to be in somebody's Social Security number. And, you know, things happen. So sometimes right. there are things on our credit reports that don't belong to us. And so we can dispute those things, but you have to open it and look at it so that you know where you're starting from. So we have to bite the bullet, stop being afraid, and put together a plan to attack it. So pull your credit reports, dispute the stuff that's wrong, and then put a plan in place to pay down the debts that do belong to you, negotiate what you can negotiate out of collections, and like do a little bit of research. And if you don't want to do all of that, find a reputable person that can help you and teach you how not to get back there again. So the biggest thing about how to stay, how to build your credit and how to stay out of trouble with your credit is to live in your means. You cannot use your credit cards as an extension of income.
Right.
They are for building credit and having the ability to borrow. That's what we want. We want the ability to borrow and not actually use it.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. The ability to borrow. Okay. What else did I
have? And I think that's where a lot of us go wrong. And we start out young because, you know, as college students, they market to college students so heavily.
Yes. So they do. That's where I got my first car, Citibank.
Exactly.
They send you $4,000 limit.
Right.
Oh, gosh. I was like,
and they do that knowing that we don't have the self-control that we should, especially at right. that age. You don't think mm-hmm. about that. You're not thinking about the long-term impact. All you're thinking is, I have access to $4,000. What right. can I buy?
Listen, and the monthly payment was $25. I was lit. And
right.
debt.
But yeah,
I was like, so they say I had to pay it back. Interest?
What is- right. What does that mean?
So I have a question. So how yeah. do you feel about, okay, so you know how it's like the norm now for people to always advertise, hey, however they do it, call me, I could help fix your credit, I work for the credit bureau, blah, blah, blah. What? How do you feel about that? Are these true? I mean, you know, because you get some people that say, oh, they did a good job, it fell off quickly.
And then
you get
is it legal, first of all?
Like, you know, that didn't work. I mean, and it's so big now, and there's so many scams. So, I mean, is yeah. that good? Like, what's your opinion?
So, okay, this is a touchy topic, right? Let me first start by saying that there are some companies that are completely credible that it's okay to use. I will also say that you can totally do this on your own.
Right, by pulling your credit report.
Yeah, and so you can do it on your own, but the thing is, if you don't know what to do and you are lazy, you will pay somebody else to do it. Now, just because people can remove everything from your credit report does not mean that they should. So items that are reported to the credit bureaus, they are reported. It does not mean you no longer owe the debt once it is removed. And so I think that's the common misconception. It's like, oh, well, if they get it off my credit report, I don't got to pay no more. And that's not true. And so especially if it is truly your debt and it gets removed by whatever loophole they got it removed, the creditor can still put it back on your report and then you experience a drop again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so that's called reinserting or reinstating the debt. Because if it truly belongs to you, you have to pay. Not only can they put it back on your credit report, they can come after you with a lawsuit.
Right.
I don't like that we aren't having the full conversation. Like, of course, I want everybody to clean up their credit, but I want us to do it in a way that is actually proper. So, like, you know it's your debt. Okay, cool. Call and say, hey, look, I don't have $1,200 to pay you, but I do have $650. Will you take this $650 and remove this from my report? That way, you have accepted that. You're going to give them some money for it. And then under a contract, you can have it removed and it won't come back. And you won't owe the debt anymore. So it's a win-win for everybody involved. Instead of trying to play this game where, oh, it came out the report because you didn't respond in 30 days or, you know, whatever the game is. Because there are stipulations about the bureau having to report and the stuff having to be verified. And I go through all of this when I talk to my clients. And so if you choose to play the game, that's on you. But I believe in being on the up and up and getting ahead of it. Listen, let's work out a deal. Let's negotiate. I know you just want some money. You might not even want all of it, but you want me to pay you something. So I'm going to pay you something and you're going to give me something in return. And so when you understand the law and you understand how to negotiate, you can get stuff off your report and not have to worry about it coming back.
That sounds great. That's a win, like you said, it's a win-win for everybody.
Exactly.
Instead of, because then you're right, because if it was to come back, I'd be mad as hell, like, what?
And it's so funny.
I've been trying to get this off of my report.
You know? I've seen people do that. Like, I've seen it happen. They're like, oh, I disputed this and now it's back. Just because you disputed it doesn't mean it's gone, sweetheart.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And the thing about it is, like, and you pay somebody $300 to click two buttons or to send two emails, send a certified mailer, and you could have done it yourself.
Right.
$300. And oh, by the way, it came back. Oh, I'm hot. I'm hot. We got to fight now.
Text.
So, and I saw that you, I got your email about your investing masterclass. So I want to hear more about that. And I know investments are like a huge topic right now. Everybody's trying to do what they can, when they can, but a lot of people don't know where to start.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what do you suggest?
Yeah. Okay. So the very first thing I suggest, I always have like a starting point, right? The very first thing is before you invest, you need to have a high yield savings account where you have some money just sitting there. Investing is a long game. It's not something you do for a quick come up because you don't want to have to pull the money out and use it for something else. So a traditional financial services industry says 3 to 6 months living expenses saved before you begin investing. I say if you are comfortable with $1,000, $2,000 sitting in your savings and you have, you know, steady income, you manage your finances well, it's okay to begin to dabble. Now, are you going to start putting, you know, $500, $600 in there every month? No. But can you begin with 20, 25, 50 every month? Absolutely. And so as long as you have some money set aside that you can pull from in case of emergency, I say go for it. Now, where do we go from there? Okay, decide what type of investor you want to be. Are you trying to play it safe and diversify with like mutual funds? Maybe you want to get in like ETFs or, sorry, I'm using jargon. Mutual funds are, it's basically like a bucket of stocks. And so I can put a lot of different things inside of it and it spreads out my risk. So think of it like this. If I have $1,000 to invest, I can put that whole $1,000 into Apple. But then if Apple fails, what happens to my money?
Right. It's gone.
Right. All of it's gone, right? Or I can diversify and spread that out inside of a mutual fund, and maybe only $5 of that $1,000 is in Apple, and the other $9.95 is in lots of other different companies, Tesla, Microsoft, IBM, Dell, Facebook, whoever, right?
And Chipotle.
If Apple takes
Chipotle.
Chipotle, yes. If Apple tanks, then I only lost that $5 that was in it versus the whole amount. And so I highly suggest things like that, pooled investments, mutual funds, for people that are just starting, because it's a safer way to spread out the risk. So you can get mutual funds, you can get stocks on lots of different apps. The popular one right now is Robinhood, because they're the ones that started this no trade fee wave. But they are limited to the amount of research you can do. So I would recommend folks checking out Fidelity or Ally. They have really good research tools. So you can look up what you're investing in. So if you have an emergency fund, you know, $25, $50 is something you can start off with. I wouldn't go crazy, because you have to be willing to lose this money if you're investing it. There are no guarantees in the stock market.
Right, it's like a juggle.
Yeah, it's like educated gambling.
Yeah, gambling.
That's so what how I, that's do you feel word. About the like Merrill Edge accounts? Because I was just looking, I was doing my research, and I know that they have like the self guided accounts with Merrill Edge instead of having somebody guide you and tell you, you know, what stuff to do. Do you feel like that's a good place to start for beginners?
Yeah, as long as you're willing to do your research, any of the major brokerage firms are great places, because they have secure platforms. You'll be able to use them to look up what you're buying. I just always say an educated investor is a better investor, because I can make better decisions. I know the difference between, you know, what's happening with the coronavirus, how that's impacting the rest of the market. And so as long as you are willing to do some research, Merrill Edge is going to be great. Any of the platforms that are, you know, the bigger top 10 companies, TD Ameritrade, Charles Schwab, Fidelity, any of those.
When are you hosting another investing masterclass? And do you
know that's a great question. I thought about it, because I've gotten a lot of feedback to do it again. I probably will pick a weeknight next week to do it, because Saturday y'all be busy, don't y'all? Everybody signs up, miss it. I'm thinking probably a weeknight next week. I'll do it again.
And is it via, can people join via online?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's online.
Okay. You got to join her mailing list. That way you get the emails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect, perfect. Okay, so tell us about your, the Mind Over Money Foundation.
Oh, that's my baby. Okay, so my nonprofit organization focuses on helping youth and low-income individuals have access to resources as well. So I have a summer internship program called 20 Under 20 Young and Financially Lit, where I take students and I place them in paid internship positions based on their interest. So last summer, we placed a social media marketing manager and a she was interested in finance. And so we placed them in internships, and they got paid to learn about what they were interested in. And so the summer before that, we did she was a makeup artist. So we placed her in a beauty bar where she was able to learn about entrepreneurship, managing her money as a business owner, and like the freedom that comes with being able to monetize your talent. So we really focus on, okay, yes, you want to have a job, but if you have a skill set that you can monetize, that's extra money you can make.
Right.
So we promote a lot of understanding how to make money from your skill set and using your influence to promote your skill set and make money from it. So it's just for youth under age 20 here in the Hampton Roads area. So eventually I'd like to expand it. But our community, we really need options for our kids that is not standing on the block.
That is so awesome. And I really just want to commend you and thank you for that, because a lot of people do not have that in their communities, especially with young people. You know, like, they're going to be our future presidents and doctors and lawyers. And so they
got to get there first before they need all of that.
They have to have the education and that foundation. And that's amazing that you're doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to raise some money. This summer, I want to hire 20. So we're going to pray on that. And if y'all know anybody that's trying to pay for or sponsor an intern, they make $1,500. So, mm-hmm. We accepting all the coins. Pennies count too.
All the coins.
I love it.
All the coins.
Yes. Amazing. Well, Leash, do you have anything else? I don't think I have anything else.
I don't. This was so informational.
It was. Tell everybody where they can find you. That way they make sure they can get on your mailing list so they don't miss the masterclass and everything else. Anything else that you have coming up?
Yes. Okay, y'all. So I love y'all, right? Y'all can find me at Tremaine Wills on Instagram, everywhere, really. It's Tremaine Wills. On Instagram, my business page is Mind Over Money Teaches. My website is www.mindovermoney.net. And so I do have a special for all of the listeners. You're going to get a discount code, 50 to 75% off everything that's including my services. So if you're looking for a financial advisor, if you're looking for somebody to help you fix your credit, help you with the budget, if you don't want to talk to me at all, you just want to use my resources, whatever the case is, the discount code is BREAK. And so you can use that at the website and get whatever you need.
And we'll make sure we put that in the description and the episode notes, that way everybody has access to it. Yay!
Yay!
So we're getting our lives together in 2020, y'all.
We are.
We have to. I definitely am going to reach out to you and talk to you about some things.
Yes, make sure you use the code.
I'm going to use the code, girl.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We are so
excited. Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Absolutely. Valuable information today, ladies and gentlemen.
It really was. I'm excited.
Yes, girl. Let's toast. I'm going to be toasting with you over here. You seen what I had. Awesome.